Medicom Medical Publishers produces peer-reviewed reports and highlights on major medical meetings. We bring the Congress to the physician.
Welcome to this podcast, which is brought to you by Medicom Medical Publishers. I will be discussing six of the presentations that were held at the annual meeting of the European Society of Blood and Marrow Transplantation. This year it was held in Paris, France, from 23 to 26 of April. Enjoy listening. The first study I would like to talk about today is the phase 3 KARMA 3 trial. This study compared idecabtagene ficlucel or idecel to standard regimens in patients with triple class exposed, relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma. The results were presented by Dr. Paula Rodriguez Otero. Novel therapies are needed in earlier lines of treatment for patients with multiple myeloma, stated Dr. Rodriguez. The BCMA-directed CAR T-cell therapy idecel has displayed promising efficacy in a heavily pretreated population of patients with relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma, and we aimed to study this agent in earlier lines of therapy. The phase 3 KARMA 3 trial compared idecel with standard treatment regimens in patients with triple class exposed, relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma who had received 2 to 4 prior lines of therapy and were refractory to the last treatment regimen. The participants were randomized 2 to 1 to idecel or standard treatment. Progression-free survival was the primary endpoint. The median progression-free survival was significantly longer in patients who received idecel compared with those who received a standard regimen, with 13.3 months versus 4.4 months, a hazard ratio of 0.49, a 95% confidence interval of 0.38 to 0.65, and a p-value below 0.0001. This result was consistent across subgroups, including older patients, those with a high tumor burden, and patients with high-risk cytogenetic abnormalities, added Dr. Rodriguez Otero. Finally, the safety data were consistent with the idecel toxicity profile reported in previous studies. In conclusion, the findings of the KARMA 3 trial support the use of idecel in patients with early line relapse and triple class exposed, relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma. Then there was a retrospective study that investigated the efficacy of pre-transplant blinatumomab in patients with B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia undergoing allogeneic stem cell transplantation, or ASCT. Out of the 117 participants undergoing ASCT, 31 had received pre-transplant blinatumomab and 86 participants had not. The primary outcomes were overall survival and transplant-related mortality. The results were presented by Dr. Ayman Sayed of the University of Toronto in Canada. The median overall survival was 42 months in the blinatumomab group compared with 13 months in the non-blinatumomab group, with a corresponding hazard ratio of 0.5 and 95% confidence interval between 0.26 and 1.00 and a p-value of 0.05. Furthermore, a multivariate analysis showed that blinatumomab, total body irradiation-based conditioning, and pediatric-inspired induction protocol were significant independent factors positively influencing survival. A mismatched donor was negatively associated with survival. Considering the transplant-related mortality, only 3.2% of the patients in the blinatumomab group had a transplant-related death compared with 43% of the patients in the non-blinatumomab group. Dr. Sayed added that the cumulative incidence of relapse was higher in the blinatumomab arm than in the non-blinatumomab arm. Then there were results of the Phase 3 Quantum First study that were presented by Professor Radovan Vrohak of the University Hospital Zagreb in Croatia. The Quantum First study is the first randomized trial examining the efficacy and safety of a specific FLT3 inhibitor in patients with acute myeloid leukemia and FLT3 internal tandem duplication receiving up to 3 years of continuation therapy after standard high-dose cytarabin consolidation or ASCT in first clinical remission, explained Professor Vrohak. In the Quantum First trial, 539 participants between 18 and 75 years of age were randomized 1-to-1 to additional quizartinib during induction consolidation and continuation or to a placebo. After a median follow-up of 39 months, the primary endpoint of overall survival was met, with a median overall survival of 31.9 months versus 15.1 months, and a hazard ratio of 0.77 and a p-value of 0.032. Here, Professor Vrohak presented additional findings from the subset of patients who underwent ASCT in first clinical remission. In total, 157 patients underwent ASCT in first clinical remission. A multivariate analysis in this subset of patients showed that both treatment with quizartinib, with a hazard ratio of 0.77, as well as ASCT in first clinical remission, with a hazard ratio of 0.42, had a positive and significant impact on overall survival. Professor Vrohak commented that these results were significant irrespective of pre-ASCT MRD status. In conclusion, quizartinib provided a clinically meaningful improvement in overall survival compared with standard induction and consolidation therapy alone in patients with newly diagnosed acute myeloid leukemia with FLT3 internal tandem duplication, irrespective of whether patients underwent ASCT in first clinical remission. Some other interesting results came from a phase 2 trial examining a CD19 CAR T-cell therapy in patients with ibrutinib-intolerant relapse or refractory chronic lymphocytic leukemia. The results were presented by Dr. Emily Liang of the University of Washington. Although a phase 1-2 trial study showed promising efficacy data of CD19 CAR T-cell therapy in patients with relapse or refractory CLL, the follow-up duration of this trial was limited to 1 year, said Dr. Liang. The current phase 2 study included 55 patients with ibrutinib-intolerant relapse or refractory CLL to receive one of three dose levels of JCAR14 CAR T-cell therapy. In total, 49 participants were infused. These participants were followed for a median duration of 79.6 months to assess long-term outcomes. The 28-day overall response rate was 70%. Similarly, 28-day MRD negativity, 10 to the minus 4th, was achieved by 70% of the patients. Of the patients that reached MRD negativity by flow cytometry, 62% even reached MRD negativity by next-generation sequencing, 10 to the minus 6th. Subsequently, Dr. Liang presented the long-term outcomes of the trial. She mentioned that the median duration of response was 18.9 months and that the 6-year duration of response rate was 26%. The median duration of response was significantly longer in patients who had MRD negativity, 10 to the minus 4th, at day 28 compared with MRD positive patients, 27.1 months versus 1.8 months, and a p-value below 0.001. These findings indicate that CD19 CAR T-cell therapy may be a viable option in heavily pretreated patients with ibrutinib intolerant, relapse or refractory CLL. Dr. Jasine Bug of the Goethe University in Germany presented the results of a study comparing tacrolimus to cyclosporine A in acute myeloid leukemia. In patients with AML who are in first complete remission undergoing T-cell replete hematopoietic cell transplantation, or HCT, and post-transplantation cyclophosphamide, it is unknown whether the choice of calcineurin inhibitor influences outcomes, said Dr. Bug. Therefore, she and her colleagues retrospectively compared graft versus host disease prophylaxis cyclosporine A with tacrolimus in combination with post-transplantation cyclophosphamide and mycophenolate mofetil in a cohort of participants with AML in first complete remission. In total, there were 2,427 included patients. The main outcomes of the study were overall survival, the cumulative incidence of relapse and relapse-free survival, and the cumulative incidence of acute and chronic graft-versus-host disease. Participants in the cyclosporine A group, which were 1,528 patients, were more likely to have a haploidentical donor than participants in the tacrolimus group, 81% versus 67%. Also, 31% of the participants in the cyclosporine A group received bone marrow compared with 16% of the participants in the tacrolimus group. No difference was observed in overall survival between the two study groups, with 3-year OS rates of 66.3% and 64.5%. A multivariate analysis showed that Within the subgroup of patients with haploidentical donors, acute graft-versus-host disease was more common in the cyclosporin A arm than in the tacrolimus arm, with a hazard ratio of 0.64 and a 95% confidence interval between 0.42 and 0.98. These results suggest that tacrolimus may be the preferred calcineurin inhibitor to combine with post-transplantation cyclophosphamide-based immunosuppression in patients with AML in first complete remission undergoing HCT with a haploidentical donor, concluded Dr. Buck. Finally, there was a study that asked the question whether molecular data could improve the prognostication in patients with myelodysplastic syndromes undergoing hematopoietic stem cell transplant. Dr. Carmelo Gornari of the Cleveland Clinic, Ohio, USA, and co-investigators conducted a real-world study among 416 participants with myelodysplastic syndromes, or MDS, to assess the links between transplantation and the Molecular International Prognostic Scoring System, or IPSSM. In the study cohort, 36% of the participants underwent transplant upfront and 85% of the participants used hypomethylating agents as bridge therapy. The IPSSR, a prognostic scoring system that uses hematological and cytogenetic parameters, not including molecular information, stratified participants according to risk: very low, 6%, low, 17%, intermediate, 19%, high, 26%, and very high risk, 32%. The calculated IPSSM scores, which differs from the IPSSR by adding molecular data, resulted in a significant redistribution of participants with respect to these risk categories: very low, 27%, low, 18%, moderately low, 14%, moderately high, 15%, high, 10%, and very high, 16%. Furthermore, the C-index for overall survival was 0.583 for the IPSSM and 0.547 for the IPSSR, suggesting that the IPSSM is slightly better at predicting overall survival outcomes than the IPSSR. The C-index of IPSSM for overall survival was lower than the observed C-indexes in the original IPSSM study by Bernard et al., and comparable with existing specific hematopoietic stem cell transplantation MDS risk scores. In conclusion, in the prognostication of patients with MDS undergoing hematopoietic stem cell transplant, these findings from a large international study showed that molecular data improved the prediction of overall survival modestly.
This podcast was produced by Medicom Medical Publishers.